the word of God for us is Matthew, the book of Matthew, the book of King, chapter 14, from verse 1 to 21. Matthew chapter 14, from verse 1 to 21. Let us read alternatively. Let me start. Verse 1. At that time, Herod the tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus. Now, Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. That he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. The king was distressed, but because of his oath and his dinner guest, he ordered that her request be granted. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl who carried it to her mother. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it is already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Together, the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Praise the Lord. Let God bless all of us with his word. The Bible is the word of God written in human language so that we may understand. Actually, in the book of Matthew, from chapters 14 to 20, we can call the retirements of the king. During this period, our Lord Jesus often withdrew from the crowds and stayed in a solitary place, sometimes alone, sometimes with his only 12 disciples. There were several reasons for these withdrawals. For example, because of the growing hostility of his enemies and the need for physical rest, also the need to prepare his 12 disciples for his future death on the cross. But these withdrawals does not mean the period of inactivity. During these retirements, yes, the crowds often came to Jesus Christ. Also, he was unable to stay, remain. And during this period, especially from chapter 14 to 20, we can see three groups of people around Jesus Christ. First, his enemies. Second, huge multitudes, huge crowds, especially hungry multitudes, needy multitudes, and his 12 disciples. Also in this chapter 14, we can see same kinds of people, his enemies, also huge crowds, and his 12 disciples, and his response, Jesus' response to them. First part, in this passage, we can see two stories. First story is from verse 1 to 12 about Jesus' enemy, Herod, and his attendants. And second story is from verse 13 to 21 is about hungry crowd, hungry multitude Jesus fed. You know, only adult men, 5,000 plus, we don't know how many women and children. Anyway, there are so many people were fed by Jesus Christ. First story is about Herod, King Herod. You know, the story is the Herod was bad man. His full name is Herod Antipas. And this Herod arrested John the Baptist and bound him and put him in prison. And this Herod wanted to kill John the Baptist. Why? The background story is this Herod was married to Herodias. Actually, she was Herod's half-brother's wife. Then John the Baptist had been saying to him continually, it was illegal, it was unlawful for you to have her. So not only Herod, but also his illegal wife Herodias, both wanted to kill John the Baptist. Then on his Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced before them. Maybe at the time, Herod was drunken and crazy. And Herod said to her, I'll give you whatever you asked, even up to half of my kingdom. Then the girl asked to her, Mom, what shall I ask? And the mom, Herodias, said to her, okay, ask the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the girl said to Herod, give me the head of John the Baptist on a dish. And John's head was beheaded and delivered to the little girl on a platter. Can you picture this picture in our imagination? Then later, this Herod thought Jesus Christ was John the Baptist, rose again from the dead. And later on, this Herod tried to kill Jesus Christ. So Jesus called him fox. And finally, just before the crucifixion, Jesus had to stand before this same Herod. Then this Herod asked many, many questions to Jesus Christ. But at the time, Jesus was silenced before him. It means Herod had silenced the voice of God. Hebrews 3:7 says, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts. Anyway, what was the response of Jesus Christ in this news of John's murder, John's death? Jesus quietly withdrew from this place and went to a solitary place. Actually, Jesus Christ lived according to divine timetable. Jesus did not want deliberately to provoke trouble with Herod. You know, at the time, the Jewish leaders, Jewish religious leaders permitted, allowed John the Baptist to be slain, to be killed. Why? Because they did nothing to help John the Baptist. But these same religious leaders asked for Jesus Christ to be slain, to be killed on the cross. You know, the family of Herod had Edomite blood in them. They were offspring of Esau. So, like their ancestor Esau, they were hostile to Jewish people, Israel people. Actually, in the New Testament, we can see several Herods. Sometimes we may be confused. At least we can see four Herods. This is one of them. First Herod was in John chapter 2, at the story of Jesus' birth. Also, that Herod tried to kill baby Jesus. You remember? In Matthew chapter 2. That Herod was called Herod the Great. This Herod was the founder of the dynasty of Herod's kingdom as original Herod. Also, he killed even his sons, his wives, if they got in the ways of his ways. Also, he was a very, very bad man, wicked man. And this Herod was his son. Also, this Herod tried to kill Jesus Christ. And in the book of Acts, chapter 12, we can see another Herod. He is the grandson of original Herod. His full name is Herod Agrippa. Also, he put Peter in prison and killed James, one of 12 disciples. So James was first martyr among 12 disciples. And finally, we can see another Herod Agrippa II. He is the son of Herod Agrippa I. We can see him in Acts chapter 25. Also, he tried Paul just before he went to Rome. Anyway, in the first story, we can see how Jesus responded to his enemy, Herod, and his attendants. Jesus withdrew. Verse 13 says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by both privately, quietly, personally, to a solitary place. But hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. So second story is Jesus feeding 5,000 adult men plus many, many other women and children. Let me read from verse 14 to last verse. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote, solitary place, and it's already getting late. It is getting dark. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, Jesus said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and then the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about, how many? 5,000 men, besides women and children. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Still now, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King, feeds. He feeds all living things. He is our provider. He is our sustainer. He is the sustainer of all things. That's why Ephesians 1:3 says, God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:3 says, yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being, sustaining all things with his powerful word. Sun, moon, stars, everything, anything, living thing, unliving thing, Jesus Christ is sustaining, supporting with his powerful word. Jesus is today's Jehovah Jireh. Jesus is God's provider. Then in this picture, the situation is time is late, getting dark. And place is remote, very far from downtown. No supermarket, no e-mart, no grocery. Then no food. Too many people who need food. This is a problem. This is a situation. Then the problem, of course, is how to meet the needs of a vast source crowds hunger in their body. Then from this story, yes, this story is so important, because through this story, Jesus wants to give us very, very practical lessons. So this story is written all four Gospels, not only in Matthew, but also in Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, also John chapter 6. This story is written, recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There are little difference in explanation, but same story, one event. Then, in this story, first thing we need to consider is there are four solutions. Four solutions came out to solve this problem. Shall we see first? Yes, first solution came from some disciples. First solution is suggested, proposed to Jesus from some disciples. Some disciples came to Jesus Christ and said, this is a remote, solitary place. It is already getting dark. Send them away. Send them away. Send the crowds away. It means get rid of the problem. Remove the problem. How like today, many of God's people today. For some reason, it means, for some reason, yes, we know in our mind, in our knowledge, in our intellect, there's nothing impossible with God. God is Almighty God. But in this situation, for some reason, it is never right place. It is never right time for God to walk. So remove the problem. They can go to the village and they can buy some food for themselves. This is the solution suggestion from some disciples. And Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. When Jesus saw huge crowds, Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus' heart was moved with compassion. You know, had compassion means literally to have one's inner being stirred. This is stronger. This is much more stronger than sympathy. You know, do you feel sometimes sympathy with somebody who needs your help? But this compassion of Jesus Christ is much more stronger, powerful than human sympathy. Then second solution came from one disciple, Philip. Yes, we cannot see in this story, but in other books of four Gospels, we can see different explanation. And in the book of John, same story, Jesus asked to Philip just to test his faith, to test the strength of his faith. Where shall we buy some food to feed these people? Then Philip answered, 8 months wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. You know, Philip was very fast in calculating. Philip was very fast in mathematics, counting. It means fundraising. Raise money to buy food for these people. Philip counted the cost, money cost, and decided they would need the equivalent of 240 days wages, but that was not enough to buy enough bread to satisfy the hunger of all people, 5,000 adults, men, and so many women and children. Yes, very often we think money is the answer to every need. But Jesus was asking simply to test the strength of Philip's faith. And third solution came from another disciple. His name is Andrew. You know, Andrew found a little boy who had five pieces of barley bread and two small fish, maybe dry fish. We do not know how Andrew found that little boy, but Andrew found that little boy and spoke up. Here is a little boy who had five pieces of bread and two fish. But how far will this small bread and fish go among so many people? Even Andrew was not quite sure how this problem would be solved. But anyway, even though we do not know how Andrew found that little boy, we are glad, we are happy, because he found a little boy who had a small fish and bread. But this is not final solution. Fourth solution came from our Lord Jesus Christ. Final solution came from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is true solution. And Jesus said, okay, bring that bread and fish here to me. And he took that bread and fish and he said, yes, have all people sit down in group of 50 or 100 in this group. And then taking this bread and fish, looking up to heaven. And first, Jesus Christ gave thanks to God and blessed this bread and fish. And then he broke these loaves. And then he gave this bread and fish to disciples. And disciples distribute this bread and fish. Broken, distribute, and continually added. A miracle took place. A miracle, marvelous miracle took place in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ, not in the hands of disciples. Yes, Jesus Christ is original God. There is nothing impossible with our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus can do immeasurably more than we think, than we pray, than we want, according to his wonderful power. Not only all of them ate fully as much as they want, but also the disciples salvaged 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. 12 baskets left over. after all were fully satisfied. Then from this story, at least we can learn very, very practical lessons from this story. At least we can get three lessons from this story for us to may put into our practice in our Christian life, in our faith life, in our daily life field. First, we can learn something very, very important from Andrew. Yes, what can we learn from Andrew? Yes, there was Andrew. You know, at least in this story, there's a big difference, big contrast between Philip and Andrew. For example, Philip was the man who said, the situation is hopeless. Nothing can be done to solve this problem. But Andrew was the man who said, yes, I'll see what I can do. And then I'll trust Jesus Christ to do the rest. It was Andrew who found and brought that little boy to Jesus Christ. You know, among 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, Andrew was a champion. Andrew was a champion in bringing somebody, some person to Jesus Christ. In another occasion, several occasions we can see in the Bible, Andrew brought somebody, even Greek person, Gentile person, to Jesus Christ. You know, in early stage, when he met Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Messiah, you know, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon Peter and said to him, I have found Messiah. And he brought his brother Peter to Jesus Christ. Then Peter became a rock of faith. Peter became first head disciple of 12 disciples. And Peter became a pastor, first pastor of early church. And Peter became one of the most powerful preachers in church history. Then Andrew found him and brought him to Jesus Christ. So among 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, Andrew was the first personal evangelist. He was first personal evangelist. So from this story, we can know no one ever knows, no one ever says what will bring, what will come out from this, from it, when we bring a person to Jesus Christ. For example, are your parents, as a parent, mother or father, if a parent raises up, train up his child in the knowledge and the love and fear of God, fear of Jesus Christ, nobody knows what things the child will do, something great for God, for man, sometime later. Yes, when we bring somebody to Christ, who knows if he will be doing something great for God, for man, even greater than us. It is possible. If I bring somebody to Christ, that somebody can do something greater than I. This is biblical. Yes, at this time, Andrew did not know what he was doing when he brought their little boy to Jesus Christ. But actually, he was providing a material for miracle. Please remember, we do not know what possibilities we are releasing when we bring somebody to Christ. It means, you know, one of the best investments, not only in this world, but also for eternal rewards in the world to come, is to bring somebody to Christ. This is a very, very practical lesson given to us from the story of Andrew. Secondly, we can learn some important lesson from this little boy who had five loaves of bread, barley bread, and two small fish. Yes, this little boy gave to Jesus Christ what he had. The amount was not big meal, very, very small meal. But this amount was all that he had. He gave to Jesus Christ all that he had. You know, at the time, barley bread and dry fish was a common food, a common meal for ordinary people, for poor people. But this bread and fish was all to this little boy. Think about it. If it has not been for the bread and the fish of little boy, could Jesus not have done what he wanted to do? Yes, Jesus could. Jesus can, because Jesus is original God. He is the creator. He can do anything, everything, something. He can create even something out of nothing. Without this bread, without this fish of little boy, yes, Jesus could feed all people at the time. Think about it, another thing. Is it possible that there is nobody, even not one person, who had something to eat except for this little boy among huge crowd, 5,000 adult men, so many women and children? Maybe yes, or maybe not. But we must know that God loves cheerful giver. Please do not misunderstand. We must not be proud. Yes, God can do anything, everything he wills, he wants, without us, without our offering, without our sacrifice, without our service. God can do everything, anything, because he is God. Jesus is God. Then why God wants to use us? Why God wants to use what we have in our hands? Why? Because God loves us. Because God wants to bless us. Because God wants to give us more reward. Because God wants to have a close relationship, intimate fellowship, and active communication with us. Because he wants to upgrade our level as his partner, co-worker, in establishing his kingdom in this world. You know, the Bible tells of so many people who permitted God to take and use their bodies or what they had in their hands. For example, God used the rod, in the hands of Moses to conquer Egypt. Also, God used the sling in the hands of David to destroy, to fall down the Philistine giant Goliath. Also, God used the mouths and tongues of prophets to deliver his message to his people. Also, Apostle Paul's dedicated feet carried him from city to city, from place to place, as he proclaimed the gospel of salvation. Also, Apostle John, the writer of last book, Revelation, Apostle John's eyes saw the vision of the future, his ears heard God's message, and his fingers wrote them all down in the book of Revelation, that book we can read and study today. What is in you? What is in your pocket? What is in your mind? God wants to use what we have to bless us, to give us more rewards. Please remember, whatever is in our hands, in our pocket. When it is handed into the hands of God, small becomes huge. Ordinary becomes great. Yes, impossible becomes possible. Yes, impossible becomes possible. Common becomes miraculous. And temporary becomes eternal. And then finally, we can learn a very important lesson from our Lord Jesus Christ. From this story, Jesus is speaking very, very practical and powerful sermon. He is a sermon preacher. What sermon we can get from this story? This means Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Yes, Jesus Christ is the bread of life, living bread of life from heaven. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy our spiritual hunger in our spirit, in our hearts. The tragedy, the sadness is today, so many, many people are spending, wasting their life, their time, their material, their money for what is not food, what is not bread. Even today around us, so many people are making the same mistake. Yes, Jesus is the same at that time, today and forever. This same Jesus Christ still has compassion for hungry multitudes, hungry crowds. Still says to his church, in this story, Jesus says to his disciples, you give them something to eat. It means today, to his body. What is his body? To his church. To his church, Jesus still says, you give them something to eat. How easy it is for us to send people away, to make excuses, to please the lack of resources. But still, Jesus asks that we give to him all that we have and let him use it as he pleases, as he sees fit. Please remember, when we give all that we have to Jesus Christ, we never lose. We never lose. Please remember, when we give what you have, what I have to Jesus Christ, we never lose. And then we will finish. We will end up with more blessings than when we started at first time. This is the practical lesson given to us from this story. Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our King, who is same yesterday, today, and forever. May God bless all of us with our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the only answer to all needs, all questions, all problems. Shall we pray together? Oh Lord, more than anything else, we praise you, we worship you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead for our victory, for our salvation, for our justification, and finally for our glory, for our glorification. Father God, please help us to know, help us to realize this truth that if we put our faith, if we put our trust, if we put our hope in anything else that is not our Lord Jesus Christ, that hope will disappoint us, discourage us totally. But when we put our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, that hope is true hope, real hope. Please help us to put our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are your children. We are Christian in this world. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your reward. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.